I listened to Howie, Brian, and Swami discuss anaphylaxis management in the December MRAP with great admiration for these three luminaries of emergency medicine, but also with some consternation. And consternation is not a word I use lightly. In fact, consternation is not a word I use, period. Not sure why I used it just now.
That's right, Ruben Strayer is back. Oh yeah, he is back. What should we call this? The Strayer Sessions? You've been strayed, pocket full of Ruben. I've got Strayerisms. Yeah, I like that one. I like Strayerisms.
Strayerisms. I like it.
He's got concerns and sometimes criticisms. Or maybe there is something that the other guys are missing. Whether it's a problem or just consternationism, it's time to get the facts from Ruben Strayerisms.
In any case, they rightly emphasize that the threshold to give epinephrine an allergic reaction should be low. And that is definitely true, and there can be no doubt that the most important problem we have in anaphylaxis management is the failure to give epinephrine. So when in doubt, give a dose of intramuscular epi. They go on to say that the definition of anaphylaxis is confusing and has changed over the years and shifts across different guidelines, and this is also true and contributes to suboptimal care. But then they rather arbitrarily choose the World Allergy Organization guideline definition, which is confusing and three parts and impossible to remember and also silly for emergency medicine.
Suffice it to say that the criteria are cumbersome and a little confusing as to what's serious, what's not serious. Most of the stuff in there is serious, but, you know, there's like exposure to a known allergen, likely allergen, some GI symptoms thrown in there.
Possibly useful for an allergist doing scratch and sniff in their office, but not useful for an emergency provider.
The question you need to ask is whether this allergic reaction is dangerous.
For emergency medicine, the decision to use epinephrine in allergic reaction is straightforward. It's not how many systems are involved, it's which system is involved. And an allergic reaction is dangerous when it involves airway, breathing, or circulation, and that's it. If you have two systems involved that are not airway, breathing, or circulation, if you have rash and abdominal pain, or rash and hand tingling, you do not need to give epinephrine. If you have airway, breathing, or circulatory compromise without another system involved, you must use epinephrine. So you can ditch the two-system rule, you can ditch the three-part World Allergy Organization rule, which requires a research assistant to apply properly anyway, and simply remember that if you have allergic reaction causing compromise of A, B, or C, you give epinephrine.
Ruben's rules for when to give epinephrine. Any allergic reaction that compromises the airway, breathing, or circulation. Sometimes it's obvious your patient is stridulous, they're hypotensive, they are crashing hard.
But it's often a judgment call as to whether there is a legitimate problem, especially the airway. Hypoxia and respiratory distress, well, they can be caused by airway issues, but more often breathing problems. If there's hypoxia because of an airway problem, your patient is in deep doo-doo.
Ideally, we'd like to identify an airway problem before it gets to this point. What are the signs of airway compromise? There are four.
Number one, change in voice. Number two, stridor. Number three, mishandling of secretions. And number four, airway posturing. Change in voice, stridor, mishandling of secretions, airway posturing. Airway posturing is not tripodding, which is using your arms to splint your lungs. That is a breathing posture, not an airway posture. Airway posturing is assuming a sniffing position. We don't see it often. It's classically observed in kids with epiglottitis, but know what it looks like, so when you see it, you will be alarmed. Lots of folks develop tingling or scratching in the back of their throat, and some of these folks are anxious and even screaming, "I can't breathe," and this can get messy and scary. Again, if you're not sure, give a dose of epi and prepare for airway management. We'll talk about that in a second.
Four signs of airway compromise:
change in voice, stridor, mishandling of secretions, and airway posturing. Now, throat fullness, well, that can be a tough one. I usually give epi for it.
As do I.
But if someone is screaming, "I can't breathe," in the middle of full sentences with a normal voice and has no airway signs, there usually is not an airway problem and you can be more measured in your approach. I don't consider throat itching and tingling an indication for epinephrine. The breathing signs in anaphylaxis are wheezing and evidence of lung dysfunction, increased respiratory effort, tachypnea, hypoxia. And circulatory compromise is hypotension, hypoperfusion, syncope. So that's when to give epinephrine. If you have airway, breathing, or circulatory compromise, give epi. Since this is MRAP, I've come up with an annoying jingle. A, B, C, D, E. When you have A, B, or C, do E. A, B, C, do E. A, B, or C, do E. A, B, C, do E.
C to E. That's when you give epinephrine, boy. Was that annoying enough?
Epidosing can be confusing, especially with the different concentrations, the different ratios, formulations.
Do you think Ruben likes these different epis?
I would say no.
And you would be correct.
Do not try to understand 1 in 1,000 and 1 in 10,000. Even if you understand it, no one that you're shouting verbal orders to is going to understand it, and they won't tell you they don't understand. In the heat of battle, they'll just give you the wrong dose, and we have all seen the consequences of epidosing errors. Do not learn the concentrations. Do not accept anyone else ordering concentrations. Know the dose so that you can give the right dose. And this is perhaps the one medication dose you need to memorize. Every other dose for every other med you can look up, but when someone comes in with a severe allergic reaction, especially because of all the confusion around epidosing, you want to know your epidosing. 300 to 500 micrograms IM. In a small person with less severe symptoms, give 300 mics. For a large person who's sicker, give 500 mics IM. And if you know that and you call for that, your nurse will give you the right dose, whether he grabs epinephrine 100 mics per mil or epinephrine 1 milligram per mil. Forget 1 in 1,000 and 1 in 10,000. Don't learn it, don't use it, don't accept it.
Dosing epi, 300 to 500 micrograms IM. Done. Put that one in the bank. Now, in the December issue, Swami talked about using push-dose epi.
There's a lot of people who use this in this situation. Some of our resuscitation experts use it in anaphylaxis.
Anand is very smart and very handsome, but drawing up tiny doses of epinephrine and pushing tiny doses of epinephrine is difficult to do, and it's going to get screwed up when everyone's palms are sweaty. When you're managing a crashing anaphylaxis patient, do not try to draw up and push 5 micrograms of epinephrine. This is how you manage the crashing anaphylaxis patient. You give 500 micrograms, that's 1/2 of 1 milligram of epinephrine intramuscularly, and you get ready to manage the airway while someone else establishes IV access. In a couple of minutes, if your patient is not improving, you give a second dose of 500 micrograms IM epi, and you start an intravenous epinephrine drip. The way you do that is you take 1 milligram of epinephrine, any concentration you like, but the crash cart epi is great because it comes already drawn up in a syringe. You take 1 milligram of epinephrine and add it to a liter of saline and drip it in, drip, drip, drip. This takes about 30 seconds to set up and gives you epi 1 microgram per cc, and since there are about 20 drops per cc, 2 drops per second is 6 micrograms per minute, right where you want it. Just use the knob on your IV tubing to titrate up and down to effect.
Ruben's strategy for the crashing anaphylactic patient, 500 micrograms of IM epinephrine. Prepare to manage the airway while someone works on establishing an IV. If the patient's not improving after a few minutes, a second dose of 500 micrograms IM epinephrine and start the epi drip.
That is 1 milligram of epi put into a liter of saline. That gives you a big bag of 1 microgram per cc. Now, it's not going to be exact while you adjust the IV clamp, so that's why it's called the dirty epi drip. Oh, it's so dirty. 2 drops a second gives you 6 mics per minute. And that's sort of the sweet spot, but you can titrate up or down.
Using vasopressors as a bolus doesn't make a lot of sense because their effect lasts seconds to minutes. You want to set up a drip, and nothing could be simpler and faster than a dirty epi drip. Add 1 milligram epinephrine to a liter of saline and drip it in. I use this on crashing patients of all sorts. Of course, once things settle down, if your patient still requires a vasopressor drip, you should transition to a formal infusion on a pump.
We've recognized the need for epinephrine. We've given epinephrine maybe twice, maybe even started a drip.
But sometimes you've got to control the airway.
When someone can't breathe from dynamic airway obstruction, like you see from neck trauma, anaphylaxis, or inhalation injuries, I call them bullets, bites, and burns. There is a reasonable chance you will not be able to pass an endotracheal tube through the cords for the same reason that the patient can't pass air through the cords. So the right way to intubate these patients is to announce to your team and to yourself that this patient is likely going to require a surgical airway. But you are going to have a look with laryngoscopy just to be sure. So you are prepared for cricothyrotomy with all your materials and ideally your colleague standing next to you with a knife in her hand, and you have already normalized the procedure. You've given yourself and your team permission to move forward with cricothyrotomy up front, unless by chance it turns out that there's a path to the cords through the angioedema.
Despite all of your epi, epi again, epi drip, fluids for hypotension, removing any allergens still on the body, like there's a bee stinger stuck in the skin,
you've expanded the differential diagnosis and are pretty sure this is anaphylaxis. If symptoms are unabating, after all of your best efforts,
reach for glucagon. Your patient might be on a beta blocker, and there's weak evidence to support vasopressin and methylene blue as anaphylaxis therapies for the patient who's deteriorating despite everything. But almost all anaphylaxis patients will respond to epinephrine. Give epinephrine for airway, breathing, or circulatory compromise, A, B, C, D, E. forget concentrations and know the dose, 300 to 500 micrograms intramuscular.
We're the Epi Boys, and we're here to say the road to epinephrine is 3 steps away.
A,
B, C, to E.
That's when you give epinephrine, boy.